But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The text is Philippians 3, verses 7 to 11. Dear friends and saints, by his birth and by his charismatic zeal to be in control of his word, his faith, and even his destiny, it seemed that everything imaginable was to Paul's advantage. Yet in an instant, he lost it all when Jesus Christ came into his life. Some 3 decades later, as Paul was writing this very special congregation of Christian believers at Philippi, he could look back over his life and seeing the word of God and the salvation that had become his through knowing Jesus Christ, Paul could send this word of encouragement, this word of assurance to the Philippian believers from the perspective of one who had lost everything, one who was in prison, and yet one who had gained relationships and a destiny with his Lord and Savior. Everything that Paul had once considered as centrally important in his life was now seen as worthless. The very things that Paul had once kept at the very center of his own life were the very things that at one time had separated him from his Lord. Although our backgrounds most likely were very much likely not like Paul, the text of today certainly speaks to us in saying that each of us needs to evaluate our own lives. We need to look at those values that we honestly hold at the very center of our own lives. Before his encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, there was no doubt at all that Paul himself held the central position of his own life, trying to gain every advantage in his world, and every advantage before his God. There's little doubt that many times we ourselves try to occupy the same position in our own lives. We occupy that position each time we find ourselves placing our values before those of God, or each time we try to control our faith to make it work to our advantage instead of to God's advantage. We like to be in control. We frequently don't like anyone else to be in control, not even God. In his book, Winning Your Way with People, the author states that to get ahead in life, you have to be in control. You've got to sell yourself. He says you must sell yourself to your superior, else you'll never get promoted. You must sell yourself to your sweetheart, or you'll never win a mate. You must sell yourself to your acquaintances, or you'll be left out of the social world and become friendless. You must sell yourself to your children, or they'll dislike you and look back to you in after years with bitterness and anger. Life is a game of continuous salesmanship and faith. Is it too much to suggest that we often go a step further in trying to sell ourselves and our self-controlled faith to God? Take a look at the faith that is centered in ourselves. Do we try to attempt to control our faith by making it work to our advantage, or by what we think is our advantage? Do we prize the security of the familiar and our own enjoyment more than the call to discipleship? Do we sometimes use Christianity to our advantage as a type of insurance, guaranteeing peace instead of suffering the trials that may lie ahead? Do we use our particular role in the faith as an advantage to sort of set us apart from the rest of the body of Christ, as if to say, I've got the call, and you don't? Our self-centeredness is really no different than all other sin. Each day we find ourselves setting out in some way or another to worship ourselves or to serve ourselves, or perhaps even to save ourselves. And yet all the doxology to ourselves, in the form of boasting, or even in the subtle form of hidden pride, are not really worship. All the things that we could gain by selling ourselves to our world or to our God can really not ever give us lasting peace. And even if we could die 10,000 deaths on our own crosses, even those could not save us. What have we got to lose by controlling our own faith and perhaps gaining every advantage in the world? What have we got to lose? The Lord answers that question with another question. He says, what does it profit a man if he gain the world and forfeit his soul? St. Paul said, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. What have we got to lose when we know Christ as our Lord and Savior? Everything. Everything and anything that would separate us from Him. It certainly wasn't Paul's own choice. But it was the encounter with the risen Christ that every advantage that Paul once believed was his became worthless and was replaced by Jesus Christ. Likewise, in our life, it's our encounter with the risen Christ through His word and His sacrament that we too count everything that separates us from Christ as totally worthless. Whether it be self-worship, self-serving attitude, or self-righteousness, each is seen as refuse. As worthless is a pit, rotting garbage, or stinking muck compared to faith and knowledge in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God leads us to see that there's eternal value only in Christ Jesus. The same Spirit confirms again to us that the righteousness of God that alone merits our salvation can be ours only through Christ. In Christ, our former gains become lost. Our loss of self becomes our gain of God's righteousness and salvation. But that gain of ours only comes at the price of Christ's loss. Jesus suffered the loss of honor. He suffered humility. Most of all, He suffered the loss of His own life. He who is without sin was made to feel like a worm before God and before man. He became sin itself and a curse on the cross before God. Paul said it so well earlier in his letter to the Philippians. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus lost His life for our sake, but He gained it again by His resurrection. And the blessing that we have is that Jesus not only gained His life in His resurrection, but He gained life for all people. That life belongs to all of us. By the power of God's Spirit, Christ counts Christ's gain our own. Like Paul, we have the privilege of calling Jesus Christ my Lord. It's a privilege that speaks of a very special relationship. It's a privilege that comes at the price of losing our own lordship. It's a privilege that comes at the loss of self-pride and self-centeredness. Calling Jesus Christ my Lord is a privilege that won't always be easy. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Calling Jesus Christ my Lord means his suffering may one day become mine or become ours. Perhaps you don't know what cross it is we bear, or what it is that we cause to suffer or to lose for the sake of the gospel. But this we do know, the power of Christ's resurrection is ours. It's given life to our spirit when And through baptism, we were joined with Christ in his death. And it gives us the assurance of resurrection from the dead, that we may live in the presence of God for all eternity. We can say with Paul, and with all who will ever confess Jesus Christ as Savior, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Life in Christ, what have we got to lose? Everything that would keep us from him. What have we got to lose? Everything that has no value, that's worthless. What have we got to lose? Nothing. Nothing at all. So what can be compared to the surpassing gain of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord? Amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.